just not enough. Oh, oh, man. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
I'm Gary Noel. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to talk about a study from Texas A&M University, and it's all about dried plums. Now, why should we be concerned about dried plums? You're going to find out. And I have about 14 other studies from the peer-reviewed literature we're going to be discussing. But today, more than anything, is commentary day. I'm going to be having a commentary that I've written up today. I'm going to do one that's important, gives us insight. Then Glenn Ford, Democrat candidates are warmongering imperialist pigs. The words and deeds of social imperialists. All of them. So you'll hear from one of the most important voices in the United States. I consider him a unique intellect. He is also one of the leaders of the progressive African-American movement in this country, and he's going to tell it like it is. Another voice today, Chris Hedges from Truth Dig, giving the bomb to Saudi Arabia's Dr. Strangelove. I think you'll find that interesting. Following up on that, I'm going to show you that there are other people from other political points of view. This is from The Hills, Victor Galinsky and Henry Sikorsky. Sell nuclear plants to the Saudis? Are you kidding? Well, they're not kidding, and they'll tell us why. Then from Dr. Merrill Nass, NASS, medical doctor, board certified, childhood vaccines that are unqualified and unjustifiably mandated. She's speaking out, and more physicians are speaking out against vaccines. But, of course, the New York Times and the mainstream media are fully in the company of Big Pharma in promoting vaccines, as are Democracy Now! And some of the more liberal media, but neoliberal media. Let's get that right on that issue. She will be telling us why you should consider opting out of these mandatory childhood vaccines. So we have a lot to share today, plus I'll be taking some calls from the audience. Our message board is full at the moment. But if you want to call in tomorrow, our voicemail line is 862-800-6805, 862-800-6805. What I'm being told is that many of the messages coming through are repeats. For example, if I answered a question on magnesium, someone else might have a question on magnesium. I'm suggesting people go to our archives and see if your questions were answered already, so I can give brand new. I don't want to repeat a question, so brand new ones. Our archive number, you can listen to 5 full programs, which is 1 phone call or off your laptop, your cell phone, or hardline phone. Write it down, please. 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. And if you think that people are not using their telephones to listen, you better think again. Land-based stations are going. They're closing down what we call terrestrial stations, what historically we grew up with. You know, you tune on every day and you leave it on. That's not happening now. In fact, they gave us the list of 15,000 stations that use call-ins. That included a lot of conservative shows like Sean Hannity and out there shows like Alex Jones, and liberal shows like Tom Hartman. And we're up there. We have more people listening to us by telephone live each day, going to our archives in the evening, than the top 10 shows combined. where about 25% of all the people listening over the internet are listening to the show. You never hear a word about it because we don't have a publicist, we don't do public relations, but it's a huge movement, and it's right under everyone's noses. So again, wherever you're at in the world, you can call this number and listen to a show, 701-719-9976, or listen live, 641-793-7091, 641-793-7091. We're not talking about a few people or a few thousand. The numbers are astronomical. And hopefully you're sharing this information, because just this, I'm sure it's almost imminent, but Amazon is going to delete everything on vaccines if you challenge them. If you're pro-vaccine, oh, Jeff Bezos will let you in Facebook. But if you're anti, they're closing it down. So now's the time to load up on all the articles and all the videos, so at least you'll be informed and you can share that information. We have 52 original in-depth investigative reports we've done on vaccines, plus 4 multi-award-winning documentaries on vaccines. So you can get that, all right? Dried plums are showing real good promise with preventing colon cancer. This is from Texas A&M University. Also, there was another university involved, I believe at University of North Carolina. But dried plums, or prunes, are very nutritious. And according to this study, adults of any age can benefit from prunes since they can improve your gut health and lower the risk of colon cancer. The study was published in the respected Journal of Nutrition and Cancer. It was a collaborative effort between Texas A&M and University of North Carolina. Now, there are other studies that have determined that a healthy diet is crucial for improving metabolism and the microbiota, or what is known as the good bacteria in your colon. And this discovery can help researchers develop natural ways of preventing and treating different diseases. So when gut microbiota is disrupted, sugar, alcohol, refined carbohydrates, pizzas, pretzels, potato chips, candies, meat, you can suffer from intestinal inflammation, which may eventually result in colon cancer. So understanding the nature of the digestive system is key to preventing colon cancer, especially since trillions of species of bacteria live inside of your intestinal tract. And to date, experts have only identified about 400 species. So now we know, take some prunes or plums each day, dried plums, and help prevent colon cancer and recolonize good bacteria in your gut. From the University of Alabama, and it's really terrible that the people of Alabama suffered dozens of deaths yesterday due to tornadoes. Now, they've never experienced anything like this before in their history. These are these remarkable weather events we're hearing about daily. The coldest cold, the most rain, the most freezing, the hottest temperatures. They're happening on a daily basis. How many? Over 120,000 around the world in the last year. We're keeping you up to date on it. I'm filming it as we speak every day. I just filmed Friday. I filmed Sunday. I filmed last Saturday up in Canada, in Great Britain. A great professor on Arctic sea ice loss at Cambridge. Everything going on in the world, you'll know about by this summer. I'll probably do it as a premier private screening for our WBAI sister audience, because that audience is tuned in to what's going on globally. And then this will be used as a tool to help other people, because when you see this, it'll galvanize you. In any case, University of Alabama had a study that a high-fat diet, that's the average American diet, and your age alter the microflora and cause inflammation in heart failure. So just the act of growing older in and of itself, combined with a high-fat diet, is enough to contribute to health risks ranging from diabetes to heart failure. All the more reason to go on a healthy plant-based diet that is not high in fat, and the fats it does contain are good fats. And this study was published in the FASEB journal, which is a very respected scientific journal. Next up, a study finds that lycopene, lyco, L-Y-C-O-P-E-N-E, that's what you get when you eat watermelons, which is one of nature's most perfect foods. Always chew the seeds. You get more protein out of that than you do out of meat by dry weight. And in tomatoes, and probably most people get it in tomatoes because people don't eat watermelon year-round, but tomatoes you can. And tomato sauces are actually better because when you heat the tomato, you actually liberate more of the lycopene. But it reduces your risk of fatty liver disease and inflammation and liver cancer. This is from Tufts University. And so they said here that in this study that, quote, consuming whole foods like tomatoes and processed tomatoes like sauces and tomato paste and canned whole tomatoes and juices provides the best source of lycopene. And in the fight against cancer, there is a surprising tool in the arsenal, and that's lycopene. So, have your tomato juice. And by the way, look at how many grams of sodium are in an average tomato juice. It's very high. So if you take tomatoes and you wash them, and then always wash your knife, always wash your cutting board, because overnight there's a high probability that cockroaches have gone over every inch of your, you know, cutting board and sink. And if you doubt me, take some little glue traps, the little white thin ones, and make a box around your sink and then around the baseboard and see how many of those little cockroaches you catch in the morning. And you think, well, but my kitchen's clean. And yeah, but you see, when you're making food, as we all must do, those cockroaches are so sensitive that they can come upon no actual food but just the juice that had dried, and they'll get on it. So always assume that everything is contaminated. Just take a second and spray it all down. That's all you have to do. In my kitchen, I take alcohol, a spray, and I just spray the stainless steel countertops and all the door handles and everything like that, and it's sanitized. Then you take your tomato, and remember, you get contaminated, you get E. coli from bacteria that you cannot see that's on the outer skin of a vegetable. So when you cut the vegetable, whatever was on the outer skin has now been completely smeared all over the inside by the knife blade. That's why, for example, I'll give you a good example, avocado. Avocados are one of the easiest foods to have that are contaminated on the outside. So you put your veggie wash on, and if you don't have veggie wash, just get some hydrogen peroxide and apple cider vinegar, put it in the water, dilute it 10 to 1, meaning 10 times water to one part dilution, the astringent dilution like apple cider vinegar. You wash it around and then agitate it, rinse it completely, the outside, then rinse your knife, then you cut it. Open up your avocado, then just rinse the avocado flesh again. That way you're not going to get any contaminants. Same way when I'm washing like leaf lettuce. Found some leaf lettuce at the farmer's market. Of course, they don't take the field heat out of it. I bring that to their attention and they go, okay, and they never change anything. So you got to eat that same day, otherwise it's wilted the next day. In any case, what you do, you cut it into bite-sized pieces, the type's going to go in your salad, and you spray it down with a veggie wash, and there are multiple veggie washes, and or you make your own. And you agitate it, rinse it, agitate it, rinse it, agitate it, rinse it three times. And then it's good to eat. Because if you don't, tucked into those little nooks and crannies of the lettuce are going to be microorganisms. And if it's organic, even worse, grown in manure. So it's good if you wash it, not good if you don't. Just keep that in mind. So make your own tomatoes. So you make your tomatoes, you juice them. Let's say you want a 16-ounce glass. You don't need more than that. So you juice 16 ounces of that. Now go ahead and juice 2 lemons or limes and put them in. Now, if you really want it to be tasty, that's tasty. If you want it to be really detoxifying, put in a teaspoon of horseradish. That is a phenomenal drink in the morning. Or drink it cold. It's good no matter when. But the tomatoes are great for you, and they can prevent some cancers. And this was done at the Human Research Center on Aging at Tufts University, and showed that they can prevent lung cancer, liver cancer, and colorectal cancer. This was published in the peer-reviewed Cancer Prevention and Research Journal. So, that's good for you. By the way, from the University of Western Ontario comes something that I keep sharing with you. I hope that you're getting into the habit of exercising every day, because all exercise intensifies the benefits as our brains age. Now, older adults, that means over the age of 40, who engage in short bursts of physical activity can experience a boost in brain health, even if the activity is carried out at a reasonably low intensity. This was done at the School of Kinesiology and the graduate program in neuroscience at the University of Western Ontario. And it showed that those who exercised with intensity on a daily basis had a much younger brain physiologically than they were chronologically. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Brain Research. And finally, from the University of Nebraska, published in the Journal of International Society of Sports Nutrition, they document the outcome of recreational sports and muscle strength during exercise and fatigue that comes when you have a decreased level of one amino acid. That one amino acid is hydroxyproline, hydroxy, H-Y-D-R-O-X-Y, proline, P-R-O-L-I-N-E. And that is a biomarker of collagen degradation. So if you take 500 milligrams of shilajit, S-H-I-L-A-J-A-I-T, S-H-I-L-A-J-I-T, and you take that with the amino acid hydroxyproline, you can maintain your muscle mass. And this was done against a placebo, and it won out, increasing muscle strength, increasing muscle endurance. So if you want to have your muscles, your energy, your strength longer, it's a simple thing to do. All right, and it's, by the way, the herb has been known, it's not actually an herb, it's a mineral substance in Ayurvedic medicine. In Ayurvedic medicine, it's known as the super vitalizer. It's an exudate of the sedimentary rocks in the Himalayas. And I remember, this goes back away, 1971, the emir, the ruler of Hunza, which had not been open to the public up to that point, brought his two sons, he sent his two sons to visit with me in New York. At that time, I had the largest afternoon radio audience. I mean, it was huge. When I went on WMCA. And he wanted to get the word out that, was there some way that we, the people of the United States, at least those involved in health, could intervene and keep China and Pakistan, China and India from making a road through there. Because when that road went up as high in the Himalayas as they lived, around 8,000 to 10,000 feet, it would disrupt their way of life. And that's exactly what happened. But he brought me a jar, and the jar looked like a black salve, stunk. And I said, what is this? He said, that's a gift. He said, all the animals in the Himalayas, when they get sick, they go to these rock formations. And at the base of the rock formations, there's this kind of black material that they eat. And this is what rejuvenates them. So we started using it, and for 2,000 years, we've been using it for everything. And he gave me one jar, and I tried doing some studies with it, and there were so many things we had no knowledge of at the Institute, and I had one of our mineralogists do an analysis of it, and he was kind of dumbfounded by it. But I'm just wondering if that's what he was giving me, because that is a sediment of the rocks in the Himalayas, and it's been used in Ayurvedic medicine for 3,000 years. And write it down, S-H-I-L-A-J-I-T. I'd just like to bring you stuff that can really make a difference and you're not going to likely see anywhere else. Oh, and by the way, one last thing. From Zijing Chinese Medical University, published an article in the Chinese Journal of Integrative Medicine about the anti-leukemia potential of the Australian raspberry. So if you have leukemia, there are a lot of good things you can do that are natural, non-toxic. But if you have chronic myeloid leukemia, which is a cancer of the blood and bone marrow, patients with this disease suffer from symptoms like anemia and tiredness and shortness of breath and unexplained bleeding and bruising and increased susceptibility to infections and unintended weight loss. Many patients undergo chemotherapy. Unfortunately, this doesn't do anything to improve their condition. In fact, this form of therapy can even cause toxicity and other side effects that are very similar to the initial symptoms, leukemia. So people are looking, at least progressive scientists are looking for other ways to help, and they came across the Australian raspberry. Now, in traditional Chinese medicine, the Australian raspberry was used as a natural remedy for angina, hepatitis, and rheumatism. And previous studies that are published have shown that this plant can inhibit the proliferation of leukemia cells and induce programmed cell death. And these effects were attributed to the total saponin content of Australian raspberries. So they did a study. And they wanted to look at the saponins, S-A-P-O-N-I-N-S, from the Australian raspberry against leukemia. And it made an enormous difference. So, good news. Add one more component to an overall protocol for leukemia, the Australian raspberry. University of Illinois, high-fat diets cause thickening of your arteries down to the cellular level. That's why there is no such thing as a healthy high-fat diet. So all those people on the high-fat, high-protein diets, you weren't looking at your arteries. You didn't feel your arteries. You didn't look at inside the epithelium of the arteries. They were thickening, and that's bringing you closer to a death. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. We'll take one or two calls because I got a lot of commentaries to get through.
This is Bob from Brooklyn. Can anything be done to treat osteoarthritis of the hip or knee without using drugs or without surgery or a knee or a hip replacement?
The answer is yes, Bob from Brooklyn. All arthritis, there are multiple types of arthritis, but all arthritis are all pro-inflammatory. It's not new. It's been around for a long time. Archaeologists have actually found evidence that the Neanderthal skeletons and prehistoric mammals, even dinosaurs, had arthritis. It's an inflammation, more often than not, in the joints, and it causes swelling, juvenile arthritis, gout, ankylosing spondylosis, systemic lupus erythematosus, bursitis, tendonitis, myofascial pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, fibromyalgia, which is a inflammation in your muscles, infectious arthritis, osteoarthritis, which you ask about, which rarely develops unless you're really making some bad life choices, but after 40 it does, and then, of course, rheumatoid arthritis. I approach them all identical, meaning I start off by putting them on an elimination diet. The elimination diet means that for 30 days, you do not have any of the common foods you're used to because you may be allergic to it, but also more often than not, it's highly acidic. So you get rid of all dairy and soft drinks, all gluten, all meat, animal proteins, all refined carbohydrates, donuts and pretzels and potato chips and pizzas, French fries, no deep fried foods, no coffee, highly anabolic. And then as you finish the first stage, which generally takes a week, then you go into cleansing, and the cleansing is with chlorophyll, meaning lots of juices, the green juices. And if you use Italian parsley along with chlorella, that's one of your best combinations for purification. But also I find that grapefruit, meaning the skin, the seeds in particular, contain caprylic acid and flavonoids. And if I combine that with curcumin, or turmeric powder, that's a great cleansing juice as well. So cleansing after you detoxify and eliminate. Then rebuild the tissue. And for that, and to turn off inflammation, bromelain, chondroitin sulfate, essential fatty acids. And there I would use oil of primrose. And one of the best single things you could do for a dog or a cat or human that has severe arthritis is that each morning on an empty stomach, you give them 2 teaspoons of emulsified cod liver oil. It's one of the best things in the world you can do. Glucosamine sulfate, MSM, which is a sulfur, a SAMe, which is also a sulfur, sea cucumber, silica, trimethylglycine, vitamin E, boron, which is important. I don't have the time to tell you what each one of these do, but hopefully you're writing this down, or you can go over it again in archives and take your time and stop and listen. Niacinamide, B12, folic acid, vitamin C is a superstar, bioflavonoids are a superstar, vitamin K, D-L-phenylalanine, garlic, L-cysteine, and a little salad made with alfalfa sprouts every day. And the herbs that are most beneficial would be boswellia, B-O-S-W-E-L-L-I-A. That's an Ayurvedic herb for reducing inflammation. And this is made from frankincense. And because it contains what is called boswellic acid, which is a group of acids that come from the resin that can inhibit an enzyme called 5-lipoxygenase, or 5-LOX, which is causing the pain. And then cat's claw, along with ginger, using the two together, are terrific. And then hot peppers, like cayenne. And nettle leaf. So those are some things that can help. We'll take one more quick one.
Hello, Gary. I would like to ask you a question. What are the dangers of flame retardant in mattresses? I appreciate your answer. Have a good day.
Well, flame retardants in any material, clothing also, or particle board, it may help. It doesn't prevent fires. It merely makes it more resistant. It's like a water-resistant watch will still get damaged versus a waterproof watch, which will not. And the flame retardants are made from chemicals that outgas. And these are volatile chemicals, and they can get into your respiratory system. They can pass the blood-brain barrier and cause a toxic reaction to your neurons, so they're neurotoxic. They can cause damage to your myelin sheath in your spinal column, which can contribute to Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis. They can get into your endocrine system and disrupt normal hormone balance, causing everything from underactive to overactive thyroid, and very hard to get them out of the body. So that's why if you were going to buy a mattress, I suggest understand you're going to spend 1/3 of your life on that mattress. Do not get any of these foam memory because they're going to outgas. The mattresses to get are made out of either coconut fibers, which can hold and wick off sweat, so you're not getting wet. They have no outgassing whatsoever. They generally run anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000. And then there's another mattress, and it's made out of natural ingredients, generally four or five different natural ingredients. There's no synthetics. It's going to be more expensive, and they compress it because it takes so much in material to get it into this small space and to hold it there. But it has no outgassing. It's as close to a natural organic mattress as you can get because your face is right against the mattress. You're breathing it in at ground zero contact. I mean, you're right there. So that's why, of all the things we spend money on, the one that we're most likely to spend the least amount of money and get the worst results is a mattress. Also, these natural mattresses will form to the body, and instead of getting the very hard mattress or the very soft mattress, I suggest get the medium mattress. So the points in your body that, like your hips, for example, and your upper back, where your neck is, those should be able to sink in but not over-sink in. And so you take some of the pressure and relief and let the trigger points work and let the meridians get the energy exchanged from point to point. Okay? Back in a moment with some commentaries. Please stay with us. I'm opposed to everything that Saudi Arabia stands for and its ruling family and the homicidal maniac running the country. Right now, just on Friday, he brought forward the news without a single comment that I could find in the mainstream media that all of the female activists were going to be put on trial. Now, they've done nothing wrong. They've broken no laws, but in an absolute monarchy, the monarch makes the rules. They have embarrassed him by showing how few freedoms women have in Saudi Arabia. These women could be flogged. They could be beheaded. Our State Department will not do a damn thing. Our president is too illiterate to do anything. And the powers that be in Washington will look the other way while this occurs so they can get back to business. It's all business. So the question is, should we be doing anything with Saudi Arabia? I believe that we should boycott Saudi Arabia. I believe that all the sanctions that we brought illegitimately against Russia, we should be bringing against Saudi Arabia. Not buy its oil, not sell it any weapons. But it tells you a lot about the Democrats and the Republicans, the ones who call themselves for the people, the populace. Well, there's nothing about them that's real and authentic. All of these are simply characters on a stage doing their little kabuki, and we're supposed to trust and believe it because the minions they associate with, the sycophants and the media, tell us that these are legitimate concerns. They're not. Legitimate is stop creating wars by manufacturing the tools of war. Now, why am I opposed personally to Saudi Arabia? And for that matter, to most of the countries in the Middle East. First of all, we talk about a wall. We talk about borders. We talk about having a knowledge, a legitimate knowledge of who's coming into our country. I think any reasonable person would like to know if you are a member of a gang. That young girl you're bringing, is she a sex slave? Do you intend to sell her in the United States? If you don't care about that, then what kind of person are you? Don't use the label liberal. That doesn't work with me. It does with everyone else in the liberal community, not with me. It doesn't. You're not that smart. If you don't know who in the hell's crossing your borders, then the problem is you, not the person crossing the borders. I believe in the legalization of drugs. I believe all drugs should be legalized. I believe we should be treating people with drug dependency and drug problems. I would think that we'd love to find out why people are taking the drugs, not just to get high, but what's beyond that? Why is not everybody taking the drugs? We haven't even asked that essential question. What role do the drugs put forth in a person's life? They're willing to sacrifice their health, their families, even prison, their freedom, in order to escape some reality. Why can't we have that conversation? It's not existential. It's just very real. It's systemic to who we are. If a country doesn't have the courage to ask the hard questions, then what kind of courage does it have to lock people up? Did we learn anything? We've never learned a thing in our history from anything, about anything. We are incapable of it. That's how much denial we're living in. So on the one hand, we'll say something like, we need a wall. Why don't we stop destroying other cultures and the regime change that lead to civil disobedience, to lead the purging of populace, to lead to destruction of farmland, to lead to global warming, that cause these people to need another place to live? We're responsible for a lot of that. We won't have that conversation. That's just too honest for us. So we make it all about, innocent people flooding into the United States. They're not all innocent. They're not all guilty. The best way of finding out is to set up hundreds of sites where people could come and be treated with respect and dignity and have quality medical treatment for diseases they may have, to see that they're not malnourished, to feed them, to give them a place to sleep, and then process them with all due speed and forgive those that are here already, because you're not going to have anything that is going to benefit us if we don't come to some reasonable grip of our mind. When was the last time Saudi Arabia had the same idea and took anyone in for all the wars they've caused, for all the dislocation they've caused? How about Kuwait? Zero. How about the United Arab Emirates? Zero. How about Japan? Zero. So meaning all the people causing the trouble in the Arab world, causing dislocation, causing suffering, they don't take in a single person? None. Do we cause them to be criticized? Do we judge them? Not at all. But I have some more reasons not to like anything about Saudi Arabia or the people that work with them. Now, some people, quite simply, I think we've all come to a decision, are just too dense, too stupid, and there's no cure for stupid. There is a cure for intentional ignorance. There is a cure for intentional neglect. There is a cure for intentional hubris. There is a cure for intentional lack of empathy. But if you're the president of the United States, you don't get a pass on any of those because you just can't figure anything out. It takes a whole different mindset to read, to study, to listen to others than corporate fearmongers or exploitators, the people you surround yourself with. Let me give you some reasons why we should have nothing to do with Saudi Arabia, not the nuclear technology, not trading, not selling them weapons, unless you're at the same time, and this goes for CNN, and it's pundits, unless you're willing to every day do a five-minute feature on the people who are starving to death, who've been burned with phosphorus bombs, white phosphorus, that are illegal, but we're still selling them in Saudi Arabia, showing the damage to a family that never did anything to anyone. They just wanted to live in peace. So what do we call this? This is crimes against humanity. So if you're willing to work for the military-industrial complex, and you should also have the courage, they're all cowards. It's great how much money we spend on giving to people who go out and do the fighting, but you never see these clowns, these cowards, these pathetic people behind the scenes making the millions who want someone else to go and take a bullet for them or put a bullet into an innocent kid's head. That's how bad we are. In Saudi Arabia, you will kill anyone at any time for any reason because that's how unstable emotionally and lacking in spirituality in a country that prides itself in its radical Wahhabist views. That's just me. Same fears the West has for Iran acquiring nuclear weapons should be applied to Saudi Arabia. Should not trust Trump's administration with a pair of scissors, let alone nuclear bomb. The Saudis say they want nuclear power in order to divert more oil for export only. There is an argument for this. If we assume that Saudis are getting closer to peak oil than they're willing to admit, but they don't tell you the truth about anything. Although the Saudis claim they only want nuclear technology for power, they have resisted any commitment to that they not develop nuclear weapons. Also, the plan is to bring U.S. companies like Exxon, Westinghouse, TerraPower, GE, X Energy, Lightbridge, and AECOM into Air Arabia for nuclear plant construction. It would kickstart a chain reaction and spark a new nuclear arms race. It would propel Iran to fast-track nuclear development in response, thereby further destabilizing the Middle East into three major nuclear powers, Israel, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. Certainly Turkey, the world's 14th largest economy and larger than Saudi Arabia's, and perhaps Egypt, will be next to push into global nuclearizing. There is an international distrust of the Crown Prince, Salman, although that has sunk any effort because the money that they get to criticize him for all of his misdeeds. He has consistently proven to be untrustworthy. Even with his public announcements of reform, there has been zero reform on human rights. The nation has a dismal record of not exercising its power wisely. The nerve center of international terrorism, that's Saudi Arabia, decades-long history of globally funding and aiding radical Islamic extremist organizations, including Western China, Indonesia, the Philippines. So you have no guarantee their nuclear arms would not find their way into other people's hands. The Saudis are involved in every level of terror chain, planners, financiers, foot soldiers, doctrinarian, pediology, and cheerleaders. And the U.S. simply genuflex or puts on the knee pads and gets on its knees, holds its hand out, waiting for the dollars to be put in, and all is good. Given Saudi's past history of supporting fringe radical terrorist organizations, hard to believe that the Saudis are capable of maintaining a truly independent nuclear regulatory authority. You'd have to be really, really dumb. I forgot. We have a city called Washington, D.C. We have federal agencies. We have think tanks, the Heritage Foundation, and the Council on Foreign Relations. We have a lot of dumb people, so they would believe them because they're paid to. The Saudis show no regard for civilian human rights, either in its own country or in Yemen. They execute minors. They execute all the minorities, mainly Shiites, such as Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr and non-Wahhabist leaders living in Saudi Arabia. They're unable to contain its own internal violence. 769 Muslims killed in Mecca in just one recent year. Saudi Arabia, based in its Wahhabi doctrine, which is rejected by almost all Muslim countries in the world, is fundamentally politically ethno-racist. Therefore, other nations' populations are inferior. Iran, by the way, which is a far more diverse population, does not embrace this kind of racism. Saudi Arabia saw what Salman did by kidnapping the president of Lebanon. Instability simmers throughout Saudi Arabia society. The royal family is divided. The military is deeply aligned with the Crown Prince. The military, the Wahhabi religious police, and oil cartels form a kind of Saudi deep state, not to be trusted ever. And yet you're going to trust them with nuclear weapons? Wow. So those are my reasons, just some, of not wanting anything to do with Saudi Arabia on any level. Chris Hedges has some additional ones. Let me share Chris's. Here's what Chris has to say on this. The most dangerous foreign policy decision of the Trump administration, and I know this is a lot to say, is that decision to share sensitive nuclear technology with Saudi Arabia and authorize U.S. companies to build nuclear reactors in that country. I spent 7 years in the Middle East. I covered the despotic, repressive kingdom as the Middle East's bureau chief for the New York Times. And I, along with most other Arabists in the United States, have little doubt that giving a nuclear capability to Saudi Arabia under the leadership of the ruthless and amoral Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman would see it embark on a nuclear weapons program and eventually share weaponized technology with Saudi allies and proxies that include an array of radical jihadist and mortal enemies of America. The nuclearized Saudi Arabia is a grave existential threat to the Middle East and ultimately the United States. The drive to build nuclear reactors in Saudi Arabia is led by a half-wit son-in-law of the president, Jared Kushner. Just as an aside, Chris, you're really being way too kind just calling him a half-wit. He's a full-wit, who met Tuesday with Salman in the Saudi Arabia capital and to discuss, quote, ways to improve the condition of the entire region through economic investment. According to the White House, prominently involved in that economic program are corporations like 1P3 International, a consortium of U.S. companies led by several retired generals and admirals and others who stand to make millions off the deal. The Saudi government, which is soliciting bids for the nuclear reactors, reportedly spent more than $450,000 over a one-month period to lobby the Trump administration to approve its purchase of the equipment and services from U.S. sources. Westinghouse, General Electric, and other American companies are preparing to construct the facilities which would allow Saudi Arabia to enrich the reprocessed uranium. The secretive effort to give Saudi Arabia the nuclear capability is not only colossally stupid, but has been done without being reviewed by Congress as required by law and violates the Atomic Energy Act. Salman, whose psychopathic traits remind me of Saddam Hussein, is widely believed to have ordered the assassination of journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul last year. He has imprisoned dissidents, brutally ousted rivals, seized over $100 billion in extortion money from kidnapped and tortured members of his own royal family, and instilled a level of fear and terror inside the kingdom, always a repressive society unrivaled in modern history. Donald Trump and Kushner, by shamelessly defending Salman, even in the face of the CIA declarations that the agency has, quote, high confidence the prince ordered the killing and dismemberment of the Washington Post journalist, are accessories to murder. Not surprisingly, the White House ignored a deadline this month that the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations set for making a report on Khashoggi's assassination. Kushner, whom the Saudi leader reportedly claimed to have, quote, in his pocket, did not appear to have raised the Khashoggi murder in the last week's meeting, the first face-to-face encounter he has had with Salman since the assassination. Salman has not ruled out weaponizing any nuclear facilities. He stated in just this year, quote, without a doubt, if Iran develops a nuclear bomb, we will follow suit as soon as possible. Wow. How about that? How about that? So, that's just some words from Chris Hedges. So, you think that Congress will approve weaponizing Saudi Arabia? You bet. In a heartbeat. You think that somehow the Democrats are actual liberals? They're not. There's no proof of that. In fact, I'm quite sure if you took a blood sample for DNA, you would find a lot of things, but you would not find any of them testing liberal in their DNA. But I want to share something to close out a program today from Glenn Ford from Black Agenda Reports. Quote, Democratic candidates are warmongering imperialist pigs. The left makes celebrities of self-styled socialists that have no solidarity with real strugglers against imperialism in the world. The best evidence of the profound weakness of the left in the United States is that it is necessary to credit Bernie Sanders with making, quote, socialism a benign term in national political discourse. The price of socialism's admission to polite conversation here in the belly of the hegemonic capitalist beast is that it must always be chaperoned by the word democratic so as to distinguish it from supposedly authoritarian ideologies of the same name. The democratic modifier words, wonders magically enlarging the historical socialist camp to include President Franklin Roosevelt, a wealthy guy that never thought of himself as a socialist, but whose 1944 Economic Bill of Rights is the verbatim source of Bernie Sanders' brand of socialism. At the same time, almost all the actual socialist movements and governments in human history are demonized. Under this democratic form of socialism, the capitalist ruling class is never overthrown, but nevertheless acquiesces to reforms that grant working people basic economic and political rights. Seeing no necessity to overthrow the lords of capital at home, the Sandinista socialists have no principled objection to the military, political, economic structures of global capitalism, a system most people in the world call imperialism. But America's, quote, democratic socialists don't like that word because it tends to upset the U.S. ruling class. Moreover, Bernie's brand of socialist carry around much of the same list of enemy nations as their right-wing centrist corporate comrades, Libya, Syria, and now Venezuela, the authoritarian socialist. Sanders' socialism is devoid of solidarity, except with those like-minded social democrats in white Western Europe who long ago made peace with their own ruling classes and their predations in the colonized world and who now accept the global domination of the U.S. war machine. In current U.S. terms, social imperialists like Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are weak on peace, only slightly less warlike than their corporate Democratic Party colleagues. In the face of President Trump's blatant acts of war against Venezuela, including an ongoing attempted coup, savage economic sanctions, the outright theft of billions in economic assets, and threats of armed intervention, Sanders and Cortez make weak noises against militarism. All right. While accepting the rationale of the aggression. Neither has a word to say about international law, a subject that has been banished from police discourse, or polite discourse, in the imperial headquarters of the country. When it comes to Venezuela, Bernie lies like an imperialist, and so does his protege, Cortez. Venezuela is the champion nation of the hemisphere and possibly the world when it comes to holding free and fair elections under the international observation. As a matter of fact, of the 92 elections that were monitored, I would say that the election process in Venezuela is the best in the world, said former President Jimmy Carter, who is no socialist of any kind. During the 2016 campaign, Bernie Sanders slandered the man who set this democratic and socialist process in motion, the late Hugo Chavez. Quote, yesterday, one of Hillary Clinton's most prominent super PAC attacks attacked our campaign pretty viciously, Sanders wrote in a fundraising letter. They suggested I'd be friendly with Middle East terrorist organizations and even tried to link me to a dead communist dictator, meaning Chavez, whose repeated re-elections were without blemish. In his CNN town hall this week, Sanders issued a scaled-back lie against the socialist government of Venezuela. Quote, I think the evidence is pretty clear that the last election in Venezuela was not a free and fair election under the international supervision, end quote. That's just a stupid-ass lie. Sanders, having thus delegitimized the government of Caracas and endorsed the rationale for the attempted coup and possible intervention and invasion, Sanders then pretends to be a peacemaker. And then you have, to finish up, Senator Kamala Harris. Quote, what's happened in Venezuela is a crisis. The people who have fled Maduro's dictator regime deserve safety and protection. As president, I would immediately extend TPS status to Venezuelans. It's the right thing to do. America must show moral leadership in this hemisphere. Wow. Kristen Gildebrand is an all-in for the coup. And Elizabeth Warren regurgitated the imperial propaganda, quote, the Venezuela people deserve free and fair elections. Texas Representative Castro, the same. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, a lower-key warmonger, quote, Maduro is alarming to me on many levels, end quote. Meanwhile, the 14-member Lima group of white, elite-led Latin American nations and the Euro-bloc, Washington's only allies in the strangulation of Venezuela, ruled out military action against Venezuela. So, There you have it from Glenn Ford. He says a curse on all you imperialist Democrats, because that's what you really are. And anyone who listened to this program realizes long ago we should have been looking at legitimate third-party candidates who are populist for the people, for peace and justice. And we have had those, but unfortunately the American people has been engaged in intentional neglect, intentional ignorance, so it wouldn't know which of these policies and platforms would benefit them. Hopefully that'll change. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice? I can easily feel myself slipping more and more waves. That super world of my own. Nobody but you.